Couple years down the road, you go home
To the
to
Hamlet?
McLean, Virginia, to the Hamlet,
Wow.
Burnham Wood Drive.
Fuck yeah. For what?
About 6 months prior to this, a man in the Hamlet died. He was like the oldest resident in the Hamlet. He was like the first one there. They basically built the whole subdivision around his property.
Whoa.
He
How old
had
is he?
a 99.9 years old.
Holy shit.
He had like the westernmost property in all the Hamlet. He had a giant pond in his backyard. Again, beautiful piece of property that everything was kind of built around. It's like the centerpiece of this like subdivision area, you know.
Okay.
He his family had been in the United States for a long time. He was a master plumber. He owned a plumbing company in town that he grew from his hard work by himself, doing every job he could, doing all the jobs nobody else would do, to building a small empire where he had 10 locations in the Tri-County area. He had a fleet of 50 vans, like service
Holy
vans.
shit.
He was like the plumbing king of like the Tri-County area on like
Oh,
on like a
jeez.
residential scale,
So he
right?
was very, very successful.
Very successful. He had like a famous jingle that was in like commercials when you were a kid, you know, and
How'd it
like
go?
so every commercial started with a toilet flush, and then kids, you would hear a toilet flush, then you'd hear like three kids and you just go, "Oh no!" And then it went like bum bum ba dum bum bum. When you've got something in your toilet and you can't flush it down, it was like I don't know what kind of music. It was like an old timey thing.
That almost sounds like a barbershop quartet
Yeah, it
or
was like a
something.
quartet singing, you know. And it says,
Da, da,
"Well, you've got something
Yeah.
in your toilet, and
Oh, God.
you can flush it down. Call me Mr. Plumber, and I'll get rid of your brown." Right? And
Oh, that's in the
that,
song.
yeah.
Mr. Plumber.
Mr. Plumber. So people call Mr. Plumber every day, right? He stayed in business, got rid of a lot of brown all over the Tri-County area. And he had this beautiful home, this expansive area with like a little nature preserve in the back of the kind of on the edge of things. And again, very successful. Worked up until he was in his 90s. You know, he was in and out of the office. He was in all the commercials, you know, because, oh, look at this adorable old man talking about brown. Right. Towards the end of his career, they got a little bit further and further out there, and he like wanted more control, but he was losing his grip on things, you know.
Yeah.
So they got like a little wild there at the end, and then the family had to reel him in, and
Like
eventually
what
he just
happened?
stopped coming in. There was one commercial where he it was like the dead of night, and he was in like full on like cat burglar gear. And there was like a camera, like that guy, like crawling beside him. And Mr. Plumber goes, "I'll come over anytime you ask, and even ones when you don't." And then it shows
Yeah.
him like breaking into a home and like
Oh
unclogging a toilet. The alarm goes off, right? And they're like, the floodlights pop on, right? You see like shades
Yeah.
get drawn. You hear the fucking cock of a gun.
Jeez.
Mr. Plumber leaps out through the window that in which he broke, cuts himself on a piece of glass, cuts an artery, and almost bleeds out the neighbor's lawn.
Jeez.
They used the whole thing for like a commercial. They paid like $75,000 during the Super Bowl to have it locally aired. Again, he was in his 70s when that happened. So, you know, he was just like, he just kept pushing the envelope and, again, made a lot of money. Well-known throughout the community. He was gracious with his time and his money. You know, as kids, like, you would go around and you would try to sell shit for a school fundraiser or whatever. And he always bought a log of summer sausage, you know?
Yeah.
He always bought a bag of gummy worms.
Gummy worms, yeah.
When you were 13, you had just gotten, like, hair on your face for the first time. Just, like, the littlest bit, you know?
Yeah.
And you knocked on his door, and he answered, and you go, your voice kind of cracked as you're, like, entering puberty. You're like, oh, hi, sir. Would you like to buy some goods for my band? You know? And he was like, he kind of looked at you, and he, like, put his finger under your chin and made you look at him in the eyes, and he goes, oh. How old are you, son? And he told him, and he goes, which one's your favorite? And you pointed to the beef sticks. It's like beef jerky. Yeah. He placed an order for it, and when it arrived, you guys shared it on his porch. And he taught you a lot about being a man. He taught you how to shave, you know?
What? This guy did?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he said do it with a dry razor under very dry conditions. So you didn't listen to him, but, you know, like,
yeah.
He taught you, you know? Either way, point was, you knew this guy, you know? Sure. He was around. He was a fixture. And he passed away. And Mr. Plummer never married, you know? He married his work, right? That's what he did up until he died, basically. Even after he had, like, pulled back a little bit, he was still, like, taking emails and on phone calls and Zoom calls and, like, being a part of things, much less hands-on, more on the business aspect and just sort of as an overseer as opposed to an influencer. And his family was okay with that. And so he passed away, and he didn't have any descendants. So what they did was they held a raffle. And every person who lived in the hamlet while he lived there had their name entered. And one name was drawn, and they would win his estate. And by God, if it wasn't Pat Dean.
Holy shit.
So you're sitting home one day, you just fucking cranked, you know? You're maybe three minutes out.
Oh, okay.
You fire up your refractory. You are refracting, my brother. You are in full refractory mode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you're sitting on the couch just fracting away.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's like 8 o'clock at night, you know? Yeah. You're waiting on the Roku to fire up. You get a knock on the door. And you hear, night mail.
Oh, shit.
And before you can even move, a piece of mail just slides right underneath your door.
Wow.
And this is the first night mail you've gotten in a while.
Cool.
It's always a little more special when a night mail comes, you know?
Yeah, night mail rules.
It's a little on the more risque side of things. A little on the darker side of things. The more adult, mature side of things.
Wow.
So you get this envelope, right? It's got a wax seal on the back. It says it's just a wrench.
Whoa.
Covered in shit.
Oh, God.
Like it's a wax, so it's all one color, but you look at it and you know what is dripping off of that wrench is pure human shit.
Why did they include that?
Because it always reminded them of where they came from, you know, and where their fortune was made. Their fortune was made sloshing turds around, you know?
Sure.
The removal and processing of turds was like what they did. And so it was always a way to, like, remind them, like, hey, yeah, you might have, like, the nice things in life, but, like, look what got you there. Sloshing around of turds. The removal and processing of human waste.
Right.
So that is going to be what's dripping down this wrench on the back of our family seal forever.
That's disgusting. All right. Well, I guess, yeah, I open it up.
You open it up. You actually have to get a wrench to open it up.
What do you mean?
It's like bolted together. Like the envelope is like bolted together. It's like, even though it's wax, it's like fixed together. It's like bolted in place.
My God.
So you get out like a fucking adjustable wrench. You know, you set it. You open the envelope. And inside is a document that reveals that you have won the estate of Mr. Plummer. They give you the address. They give you the key to the lockbox. Or they give you the code to the lockbox where the key is held. They said that they'll send you an email with documentation that has to be signed.
Okay.
And you just sign it through a service online.
Yeah.
As soon as you read that, you get an email. The email pops up. It says, like, sign now. You know, a little blurb there. So
So
you open the email.
all of the street names in the Hamlet are named after like Shakespeare stuff. What's the name of the street that Mr. Plummer lives on, or lived on? I guess he's dead.
It's Mercutio Way.
Mercutio Way? Mercutio Way, rather. I can't even say it. That's cool.
So you 6'9" Mercutio Way.
Oh, God. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's like a again Hamlet, kind of in like the westernmost edge of it, back at a corner. Away from everything, there's like space within their lot, a beautiful pond again. It's not like a huge lot, but it's, you know, enough to like go enjoy.
So this is mine now, this house.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I would,
The
dude, I will
home and the
sell.
lot.
I'll sell this bitch immediately.
Not allowed to.
What?
You have to own it for at least a year before you can sell it.
Okay. All right,
That's
whatever.
part of the stipulation.
Okay.
There are other stipulations in there, but you know, whatever. So you,
Any worth noting?
not really.
Yeah.
Just like there's a lot of like brand loyalty stuff, you know, like this is a Pepsi home, fuck Coca-Cola, you know, it's just stuff like that,
Okay.
right? Yeah. Just a few of those things.
A Pepsi home.
Yeah, Pepsi. So you, you go to the house, right? You go to the house, go to the lockbox, you enter the code. A brilliant silver key falls out into your hand, heavier than it looks.
Well,
There's a blue stone in the middle of the fat end of the key where you put your thumb.
yeah.
You can feel the indentation of where a finger and your thumb has pressed on it thousands of times, and it's smooth to the touch. It's an old key.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you go into his house, right? It's incredible, right? It's beautiful. Everything is old. It's dark woods. Everything, it's rich, it's warm, it's comforting. Huge fireplace, massive TV over it. It's a, you know, just a beautiful home, an incredibly well-furnished home, a kitchen to kill for. Giant in-ground pool in the back. There's a slide going into it. You've got a 12-person hot tub. You've got a sauna room.
Holy shit.
You got a huge pond out back with a little dock kind of going out and into the water.
Wow.
A small wooded area just on the other side of that. It's maybe like 2 acres, right?
Okay.
It's easily the biggest lot in all of the Hamlet. So you spend your first day, you and your mom and dad, and they come over, and you know, because obviously they're like right down the road, you know. So they come over, you guys cook a nice meal in your new house. You take them on a tour. They're gonna stay the night for the first night, just kind of like as a fun, silly family thing, you know. It's kind of
Sure.
adorable.
Yeah, I guess.
You guys are going to go out in the pool, get in the hot tub, you know.
Maybe watch a movie after.
Maybe what? Yeah, watch a movie on that big fucking TV on that comfortable couch. So you spend your first day just kind of like a, you know, acquainting yourself with like the main living quarters and the rooms and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, the next day you'll do a little bit of a deeper dive, try to learn about the house a little bit more. So you know, you and your family kind of explore the house. They're gonna crash in a guest room. You go to sleep. You're woken up in the middle of the night. You look out your window, you see your mom and dad in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mom's like fanning herself, you know?
Yeah.
It's hot down there.
Sure.
Your dad's like giving her a shoulder massage. You hear another giggle come from the area, and you just close your eyes and you go back to bed.
Yeah, man. Why?
Think it's beautiful.
Okay.
So you wake up the next morning, right? You have breakfast with your parents. You don't discuss the incident. Your dad says, hey, I'd get that hot tub checked out. It
What?
was, yeah, he looks at your mom and he goes, with a straight face, he goes, it was pretty hot in there last night.
All right. I will. So he's like doing a
So
line. That sucks. That is
they wind up
weird.
leaving, right?
Yeah.
You're like walking around the house. You go into the basement for the first time. It's like a clean basement. It's finished, but it's not like decorated or anything. It's, you know, but it's ready to be like arranged and decorated however you want. But it is
I
finished.
fucking love basements, dude. There are no
Yeah.
basements in Austin. Sucks.
So you start walking around, right? You're walking
Yeah.
around looking through all the rooms. You can see where there are like rooms laid out. Like there's drywall up. Like there are rooms there, but there's just no furniture, no nothing. It's just empty, waiting for you to do whatever you want with it. You go into your washer and dryer, and you're washing like your laundry room. Brand new washer and dryer, top of the line. Excellent condition. You kind of like lift up the lid and you look inside and you think to yourself, that's a good fucking washer. You know, you don't know shit about washers, but it looks like a good washer.
Okay.
You close the lid. What do you do? A box of dryer sheets falls from a shelf above onto the floor. You bend down and you see underneath the dryer is a patch.
Is it what?
No bigger a hatch, no
A
bigger than a
patch?
manhole hatch.
A
Like there's
hatch.
a door on a hinge that
Sure.
no bigger than a manhole. What do you do?
I look into it immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
You unplug the washer, right? You unhook it from the water and everything.
I think it would be on my mind the rest of the night if I didn't.
Yeah. So would you do it right away or would you like think about it?
I think I
Because
would look at it.
it's gonna take some look. It's gonna take some work to get that thing undone.
Oh, I guess it's true. I guess I just make a note of it and go make sure to look at that later.
Yeah.
Something about that, it sits very strangely with me.
Yeah, like an old iron hatch, you know?
Oof.
Like something you'd see in a fucking military bunker, right? So you think that's fucking strange. You walk around, you look at the rest of the layout in the basement, you kind of start imagining like, oh, this is where we would have another guest bedroom. Here's obviously a bathroom. Maybe this is like
Yeah.
an entertainment room or a game room or something, or a study, whatever. You're kind of just walking through, mentally making notes. You go back upstairs, you put your foot onto the step, and it kind of creaks under your weight. You ascend up the stairwell, turning the lights off as you go. The moment that you like close the door, you hear like the clang of metal on metal, like coming from where that hatch was.
Jeez.
So you think, oh, that's fucking weird, right? That's
Yeah.
strange. You go about the rest of your day. Check out the garage. It's a two-car garage. There's like a little workshop attached to it. There's some big power tools, like a couple of saws, like shit that's like above, way above your pay grade. You know, something you'd never, I've never fucked with any of this stuff before, but it's a whole setup. This person and was just like living.
All of that stuff is mine.
Yeah. The house and everything in it.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So it's got all these like cool amenities, right? Beautiful home, modern furnishings. Again, you kind of do your best to like acquaint yourself, right? You walk around the property a few times, you kind of like wander over, you check out what your neighbors have going on. You're just kind of a man about the place, right?
That's cool.
Start to like move your shit in, you know. You're putting books away, right? You're hanging clothes up in a closet. All that shit. Yeah. All the stuff you do when you move into a new place. You get a lot accomplished your first, like, real full day there. And you feel, like, incredibly excited about this new place. You're already thinking about, like, having a party in a couple weeks. And, like, you'll call your friends and family over. And, like, hey, everybody come check out this new place. Bring your swim trunks, that kind of thing.
Cool.
A little barbecue at Pat's house. You're going to call it a Midsummer Night's Barbecue.
Oh, man.
At the Dean residence.
A Midsummer Night's Barbecue.
At the Young Dean's residence. You don't want people showing up to your parents' house unannounced. You know, who knows what they're doing.
Right.
So you're like having these like dreams of grandeur, right? Like what is this new place, this new time in your life? Like what is it going to be like, right? And you think a year from now, at worst, you sell this thing, you get out from underneath it. It's got to be worth a few million dollars at least, right?
It would be worth a lot, yeah. A
lot of money. So at minimum, it's like buckle down for a year, make the best of this, and if you don't like it, well, then just sell it here.
Yeah. All right, that's fine.
So you kind of think that to yourself. You have dinner that night. You go to bed. You are woken in the middle of the night of metal on metal, just a huge clang.
Fuck, I already forgot about this. Yeah.
It rings out from the basement beneath you, almost like you're directly above it, like your bedroom is directly above the hatch room. What do you do?
I just, you know, I don't know this house yet, and I feel like maybe this might just be a weird noise that comes from the pipes. I don't know. I just go, you know what? I will look into this tomorrow.
So you go back to bed, right? To bed.
Yeah.
You have a dream that you're just sliding through a pipe, like you're running water, or like you're like riding the edge of running water, just being pushed through old rusty water pipes. You come out into somebody's bathtub. You look up. He's a tall man, totally nude. You see his enormous penis, and you just go straight down into the fucking drain again, onto the next place.
Okay.
You're surrounded by soapy water, just sliding through this fucking pipe. You're on a long straightaway pipe and you see light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And the pipe like shoots you out into like the Atlantic Ocean. But it's right onto like some guy like washing his asshole. You know? And then you wake up and you're like, that's fucking weird.
Yeah. Right?
You were like, he was scrubbing away. He was like a knuckle in, at least. Wow. Like he was really going to town. And you were just about to splash on that little brown eye. And then you woke up.
All right.
You wake up to the clang of metal on metal.
Yeah, I definitely.
It's 10 a.m.
Probably the first thing I do is I go down there and go, I'm just going to go see what this is because it's kind of weirded me out now.
So you go down there. You unhook the washer, the washing machine. Scoot it to the side, and you see the hatch in front of you. There's like a little wheel on it, you know? You spin the wheel.
Yeah.
You spin the wheel, you see it kind of like rise up, and eventually it comes open. You lift it up, it's heavy. It's very heavy. But you do see a set of stairs, like a stairwell descending. It's like a ladder straight down. You have a little candle.
I wouldn't use my cell phone.
You ran out of battery. You were up all night on your phone.
Doing what?
Looking at pornographies. Your battery ran out before you found one. You went to bed frustrated. You woke up frustrated.
Oh, okay, sure.
So you got a little
All
candle.
right.
You're holding it, right? Carrying it down. Careful not to move too fast.
Yeah.
You kind of come down into like a cobweb filled tunnel.
Whoa.
And like every so often, every few hundred feet, every 500 feet, it kind of, it's not consistent. You do see like a soft glow in the ceiling.
Whoa.
Not enough to like illuminate anything, but you could tell that there's like something there, you know?
Sure.
And you see him like through this tunnel that has to be thousands of feet long, right? A
My
little further
God.
up ahead, you see another tunnel shoot off to the left. You see a few more of those kind of in succession, and it looks like you kind of like walk around and it's like a grid.
That's fucking crazy.
So at one point you walk up underneath this light, you look up at it, and it's like a big circle, kind of like a big oval thing. It's like it's hard to exactly make out what it is. But you're kind of like looking up at it. It looks like there's fluid. Like there's, it's moving like fluid, you know? And you're kind of like looking, and you look up, and as you're standing there staring at, like trying to figure out what this is, you see like an ass. Like somebody covers it with an ass, and they just start violently shitting. And
Oh,
you realize that
man.
you're looking up into the toilet of one of your neighbors.
Oh, man.
You go down to the next light in the ceiling, same thing.
This shit.
Somebody comes in and they just take a big old fat piss.
Okay.
Right? You go down to the next one. Somebody's in there shitting. A guy, he has his dick and balls tucked into the toilet bowl. He's just shitting.
Why am I continuing to? I know what these, I know what it is. Why do I keep having to look at?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what happens. You were just like in disbelief. You went to the next one and you just kept seeing people shitting.
That is really gross.
So you look at this one where the guy has his D&B tucked into the bowl. And you
Yeah.
see there's like a switch on the wall. Do you press the switch?
Absolutely.
He goes to flush the toilet and the toilet doesn't flush. He stands up and he goes, "Brenda, what the fuck? The toilet's not flushing."
Holy shit.
You see his wife come in. She's got like rubber gloves on. She's like waving her nose, you know. She grabs a plunger and just plunging away and it's not working. You press the button again.
Yeah.
Boy, the flush is just fine. She looks at him and she goes, "Maybe do it yourself." She slaps him in the face with one of those yellow gloves.
Whoa, whoa.
He's just cries, you know.
Okay, there is a lot happening in that marriage. He's
Yeah, it
crying.
doesn't last much longer, to be honest with you. But either way, you just witnessed this event, you know,
Wow,
and you
it's not
eventually come to the
surprising, yeah.
conclusion that your neighbor had control over every toilet in the hamlet.
Jeez.
And he was able to clog them and unclog them at will.
Mr. Plumber.
And you think, like, holy shit, that's how he did it. He's got a network of tunnels running all throughout McLean, Virginia,
Wow.
and he's pulling all the strings. You go up into the study, just kind of like baffled at what you found. You open up this big oak desk drawer, and you feel around in there, and there's a letter inside. You pull it out. It's a statement from the last month. He was paid $150,000
Wow.
the last month running his business. You're there for about a month, right? You start getting tax bills in the mail. Expensive place like that, they're pretty expensive tax bills.
Dang.
You got to pay like $3,000 a month in taxes.
Fuck.
It's an incredible amount of money.
Yeah, Virginia will do that to you, man. They actually,
yeah.
They're kind of notorious.
And you're kind of like sitting there one day, like thinking about like, how the fuck am I going to come up with this money?
Yeah, I don't have that kind of money.
You're doing a load of laundry and you look down at the hatch. And you think about it. If Mr. Plumber can make that kind of money, that's not what I'm looking for. He goes, but maybe you'd be able to drum up a little bit of business of your own.
Start my own plumbing business?
Would you clog up any of your neighbor's toilets and then unclog them for money to save your new home?
I don't know. Because on the one hand, it's such a crazy invasion of privacy. But on the other hand, I mean, I would go broke living in this fucking house, right?
Yeah, you're not going to last long. The city doesn't care who owns it. The city doesn't care how you came into it. The city doesn't care anything about it. All they care about is getting their fucking money.
No,
the state, rather.
I turn into an Airbnb. I go, I'm not going to do the weird shit thing. It's just too much. It's just too much. It's too much for me to deal with. And it's too creepy of a thing to deal with. And I will have no part in it. I'm just going to rent this place out and try to make some money that way.
So you think that you're like, I'll rent the place out. Obviously, all the amenities, you'll be able to make a good living, right?
Yeah.
You throw it up on Airbnb. You're asking like a lot less than you probably could have, to be honest with you. You just wanted to like get it booked, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
You never receive a single booking.
What?
It's up there. It's up there for like 4 days. And again, it's price to move. You don't get a single booking.
Why?
I don't know. You just don't.
All right. In that case,
you lower the price. Another few days go by, no booking. You lower the price again. Another few days go by, no booking.
All right. Well, sorry, everyone. I'm turning to the dark side. Fuck this.
So you would. So you would start to like spy on. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what do you do?
First thing, I go down, and I just go. Honestly, I probably just knock out a whole fuck ton of them. And then it's like, oh shit, what's going on? And then I can just show up and go, you know, well, here I am, and just knock them all out one right after the other.
So you go down, and how many? So you just like go through and hit the button on a bunch of them in a row?
Like 10 of them.
Yeah. You hit the button on like 10 in a row, right? And you hear like clang, clang, you know, clang. Like you hear like metal on metal as like the system sort of shuts down in that area, right?
Yeah.
You're going through one at a time. You just start hearing like people. Like, what the fuck? Like, people are just pissed, you know?
I bet.
You hear this anger coming through through the toilets themselves. You're kind of standing there. You go back up topside, right? You knock on the first door. Right?
Hey.
We have to offer your services, right? They don't know, you know?
Oh, yeah. I guess what I do is I frame it as, hey, my plumbing just stopped working. I fixed it because that's what I do. I fix plumbing. Did something happen to you? Because it happened to a few toilets in my house. I'm worried.
So you knock on a few doors, right? Like the first two people, right?
I'm
nobody answered.
Away. Yeah.
I'm Rikishi away. You knock on the third door, the one of that couple. And the woman answers the door. She goes, can I help you? And you do the whole spiel like about the plumbing. She's like, yeah, my fucking husband has been clogging up our shitter. And you just hear him yell, who the fuck is there? Right. He just screams it. Right. Right. And she's like, shut the fuck up. And they're just screaming at each other.
My
right.
Gosh.
The whole time. And she's like, I'm telling you, you broke the fucking toilet. She had too much, and she's just going on and on, just
I
like
think
really
I
riding
go,
this guy.
yeah, I like try to diffuse the situation. And I go, well, ma'am, I'm sorry, but like it happened to
As
my
soon as you
boy
say
too.
that, you see this man come through, this Hulk of a man. He enters the hallway and he looks at you and he goes, "Is this the guy? Is this a guy you've been fucking around on me with?" And he
Whoa.
runs through the door, he tackles you, and your brain
Well,
bounces off the sidewalk and you bleed out right there in their lawn. Bleed out right there. All of those toilets never get fixed because it was
What?
such like, yeah, it was such a good plumbing setup that none of those toilets ever flush again. Every single one of those
Oh,
10
man.
houses eventually just remains vacant. They all get eventually torn down. Now, when they do tear it down, this is probably like 20 years after you've died. When
Yeah.
they do tear it down, they find like the network of like plumbing lines. And there's an expose done that says dead overweight comedian found to be pipe pervert. And it was a whole story about how you were like digging trenches to look up people's
Pipe
toilets.
pervert.
Yeah, they called you the pipe pervert. They called you Pat Pipe Pervert Dean. So 20 years later, your
Holy
name gets drove through
shit.
the mud again. Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? What's that guy's problem? Did he get in trouble at least?
I mean, at first, yeah, because he obviously killed you, but once they dug up all those houses years later, he was let out of prison. They were like, "Hey, we get it, man." His record was expunged. And the pipe pervert Dean, his name was forever tarnished from that point forward.
I fucking bet, dude.
Yeah.
That is not a good nickname.
No, it's really not.